I think we are rolling.
Yeah.
Welcome, athletes, to another episode of the Gym Closet. The Gym Closet equipment has failed us. So, yeah. Blah, blah. So, we are recording on a little recording device that we have for emergencies, which I hope the audio comes out nice for everybody and you can understand us and we don't have to mess with it in any other way other than just putting it together. So, we are coming to you early this week because we are recording early because Jordan gets to go out of town. So where are you headed, Jordan?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Ask me why I'm going to Pittsburgh.
Why are you going to Pittsburgh?
NCAA Wrestling Madness or Matness. Matt.
March Madness.
Yes. I'm very excited about it.
You do understand that, like,
I don't give a shit about basketball. I won't watch a second of it. I don't care at all.
That's all right. As long as you get off of, like, work to go do that, I feel like then that's a replacement for what everybody gets off work for March Madness basketball.
Dude, I this is the reason I got a second job. This is, I mean, this is everything. I've been waiting a year to do this again.
That's awesome.
I can't even begin to explain. I bought my dad a ticket. He's coming out for the first time. It's going to be the best weekend ever.
That's awesome.
It is.
That's awesome. Good for you. I wish that... any game would be fun. I'd love to go to a basketball game, not a wrestling match.
No, I can't imagine.
I used to wrestle and I like it. I'm just not a fanboy like you.
Dude, if you don't like you either love it or you hate it. Like
right.
You're not gonna watch it. You watch or because I showed Eric wrestling for the first time. He like
came Eric
over.
Payne.
Yeah, he was like, "What the fuck am I watching?" I'm like, "Greatness."
Yeah, but if you don't know, like I guess I know. I can see if you don't know wrestling at all.
Yeah, which was
how
Eric,
bad. Yeah, how bad that would like literally.
Yeah,
you have no idea what you're watching.
Yeah.
But I have. I guess being a wrestler until high school, I know what.
Yeah, at least you know what's going on.
Yeah,
yeah.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
So the college wrestlers get crazy. But if this is the first time listening to this podcast, we are a podcast that is inspirational in the fact that we talk about what. Crave is all about, and in doing so we try to give as much advice and things that you can take home in your daily life, whether you are a Crave athlete or not. If you are a Crave athlete, you get somewhat of the inner workings of what we do at Crave, and if you are not, we have a bunch of actionable things that you can do to better your life or to just get some knowledge on fitness, nutrition, a whole bunch of different things, business, all that kind of stuff. So today we're going to dive into a new segment that we're going to do. This one's going to be a kind of a quick one just because we don't have normal equipment and we are kind of winging it here. So, but one segment that I do have is if anybody doesn't know, Coach Wooden is an old basketball coach that was huge on what he invented his pyramid of success playbook. So what that is basically what it takes to be successful, not only as a coach, but in general life and all of this kind of stuff. So it's basically a huge manual to allow you to kind of dive into what you can do to improve your life and be successful in different ways. And he just took it as a basketball coach and what he's done and kind of dove into it that way. But we are taking it not only in the coaching, but the athletes and to general life. So I think it applies a lot to what we do at Crave. So I'm just going to go into the first block of the pyramid, which is bottom left. If you picture a pyramid, it's bottom row, left side. We have the first foundation of this pyramid is what he calls industriousness. And industriousness, in my words, would be basically working hard work and follow through is kind of what I would say that industriousness is. So this is basically a component that is at the base of this pyramid that he created. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Basically, there's no substitute for hard work. And so we know that you have to be willing to work hard, and that really implies to everything that we do. If you want to get results at Crave, you have to show up. We have a team commitment form that we sign up front that says, I'm willing to work hard to get the results. I know that that's part of me being a teammate, and I know that that's what I have to do in Crave. We also really push that message in everyday life, whether it be at your job or at, you know, your family or whatever the case might be. We want to really make sure that you're willing to work hard. Now, should you work harder all the time if there's a smarter way to work? Probably not.
Oh.
You said yes.
No,
yes.
Dang it.
No, but you know, there's give and take on everything. You have to be willing, and that's kind of why I always say willing to work harder, because if the answer is out there for a smarter way to work that is making you more time efficient and better at what you're doing, or you're getting a better outcome for less work, then you have to take that route. But a lot of times things just need the daily gritty, just get it done attitude goes a long way when it comes to really anything in life. And so, especially in our training here, you know, obviously we work hard. We know that, you know, you can get only as much out of every team session as you put in. So we, you know, we push each other and we do a lot that way. But this is kind of talking about, you know, off the court. Big thing that he has a quote here: off the court, I worked hard too as a head basketball coach at UCLA. Each year, a couple of weeks after each of the last game, I would begin research on some aspect of the sport, in that case, basketball. I would talk with other coaches, read books, and examine every angle of that year's topic. My research would last for the entire offseason. So that's one thing that I think, you know, going above and beyond for hard work and with our coaches, you know, a lot of times we give as many tools as we can, but what I challenge my coaches to do is find a tool for me, find an expert, do research to make yourself the best that you can be. So, you know, an example would be, you know, a coach needing to, maybe a coach comes in and he's not an expert on the hang clean. Maybe he just had, you know, he doesn't remember the mechanics, or, you know, there's things that he has to touch up on. I expect all my coaches not only to watch our created videos to get the content and to get the education that they need, but then go above and beyond. And if you can find an expert on the hang clean and you can become the Crave expert on hang clean because you've done the extra research, that's what I'm looking for in my coaches. And most of our coaches go above and beyond in doing so. And so the cool thing about that is you can turn, and this kind of talks to everyday life, you can turn your weakness into one of your biggest strengths if you give it the extra hard work to research and to spend some extra time on that weakness. And I think that's the one thing that I want to take away from this segment today with the Wooden's Pyramid is, you know, if hard work can give you the advantage that a lot of people aren't willing to do. So take that extra time, research a little bit extra, go the extra mile in what you're doing, and that will go a long way. Jordan just heard about this segment. I was just thinking about it this week, so I haven't had a chance to talk to him about it, and our equipment didn't work, so we're thrown off and flustered, so we didn't get a pregame here. But what do you think?
Three things. So one, especially in relating to John Wooden specifically, it's interesting to hear that he would spend that much time trying to research a new subject in basketball, having the success that he had.
Isn't that crazy?
For anybody that doesn't know who John Wooden was, he's like the most successful head basketball, really, maybe college coach of any sport ever.
Right.
And that's
so.
That's coming from me saying, like, I know how good Dan Gable was at wrestling, and I know how good Kale Sanderson is now. I mean, these are, you know, since the sports have begun, guys have not been as successful
as John
Wooden.
It transcends sports.
Yes.
Because you just got done telling us that you don't like basketball.
Right. What he was able to do was unreal. I mean, he took the famous example, I think, is when his team won the national championship, and this was when freshmen couldn't play with the seniors and stuff, and this freshman team in a scrimmage beat that national champion team.
Yep.
And these were the guys that he's pumping out, these are the guys he's getting, and he's spending that much time in the offseason. That can't go
extra
unnoticed.
Work, right? Yeah.
That has to be, I mean, it's not an accident that he's that successful.
Right.
He's putting in all that extra time despite being as good as he is, and I think that's something that's, I mean, invaluable. I think that's a perfect lesson of what you need to do to be successful. He obviously took it to lengths that, my gosh, most humans could never do.
Right.
But you see why. It's because he was willing to do all of that.
Yeah, and I think, sorry, that was one.
That was one. So okay. Two, I like what you said about coaches going the extra mile. I think that in like researching stuff, they can do some of that. And then I think that even some of the little things that they do, and the example that popped right in my head was like when we first switched to the new time, or the when we were doing the last season and the time was like 40-20, 40-20, yep. But the 20 split in the middle.
Yeah.
And some folks were having a little bit of a tough time. Trace made that little diagram, and it was a you know, whatever diagram. It's, he drew it with his hand, but people were like,
"Oh,
this is
I get
amazing!
Yeah.
I totally understand what's happening right now."
Right,
you know, little things like that I think are just also super important. It made everybody in the gym happy. It's you know, and you guys, you give the platform to be able to do something like that on a Facebook where everybody's in there together.
Right.
I thought that was pretty cool. And the third thing is the triple down on your weakness. That's like a straight up David Goggins quote.
Yeah,
that man, that's his thing.
Yep, yeah.
You get your weakness, you find what's worst about you, and then you fix it. You obsess about making that better, and what that does for everything else in you is make so much better.
Right, and that's what's, you know, and another basketball comes to mind, but like you think about someone like Michael Jordan. Like,
yeah.
Would Michael Jordan, there's the famous story about how he got cut from his high school basketball team and all of that, you know. You may debate whether that actually influenced his career a bunch. But in my mind, that kind of put the chip on his shoulders, so he knew that he had to work hard. He was ingrained with work hard from high school because he didn't make the team. And so as naturally gifted as he was when he grew and when he, you know, figured out that he can jump out of the building, those are natural talents that he was going to have regardless.
Yeah.
But I think that he saw a weakness in himself, and whatever that might be, his coach might have said, "You can't dribble very well, you can't shoot as well as we need." There was some reason he didn't make the team.
Yep.
So I'm guaranteeing you he said, "Screw that, I'm going to double down on that weakness. I'm going to make that the best part of my game." And then you see something like that, you see how Michael Jordan turned out. And I think that happens a lot with a lot of really successful people, just in general, is something happened. They took the weakness. They were able to, instead of folding, they became a winner. And that's the other thing. I had this conversation with a coach, one of our coaches this week, and we had a comment come in, an anonymous comment, and we basically was saying, hey, you know, he could work on, you know, some of these things when it comes to helping our form in this certain aspect of what we were doing. So it was a specific scenario in which we got a little bit of criticism, which is good. I invite any constructive criticism, you know, presented in the right way.
Yeah.
It always helps out. But I had a conversation with him, and I was basically saying, okay, and it goes back into this, you know, creating a winner or creating a strength out of a weakness is, and that is going back to working hard, but that goes, you know, a winner is going to take that criticism and is going to double down or take that recognition of that weakness and work his or her ass off to correct what is wrong and go above and beyond. And if it is like the hand clean scenario, if it is a hand clean that isn't being, you know, may not have the correct pointers to tell someone that's just not getting the form, then extra research and extra planning and extra work on that movement will help you become an expert and be able to translate that better and just know. So those are the extra steps. And a winner is going to take that and do the work. A loser is going to fold, is going to take that pressure and say, maybe I'm not cut out for this. I guess this is not for me. I don't want to put in the extra work. And if I'm not naturally an expert or naturally gifted at whatever I'm doing, and I'm not, you know, and that's a weakness that somebody has there that I have figured out, I'm not going to put in the work. I'm just going to quit, you know, and that's where the winner and loser is going to be separated. And so that's the big lesson that we want to take away is the bottom left side of that pyramid. Work hard, and it kind of goes into all those other aspects that we talked about. So I'm super pumped about this segment. So we'll do this if we don't have a interview with a coach or anybody, or if we don't have a guest on, or if we don't have a season to talk about or preview, this is going to be a segment that is going to get us through all of the pyramid, because his pyramid obviously he's a hard worker, but his pyramid that he put together is just perfect for anybody that wants to be successful in sports, in coaching, and in general in life. And so I think that that's a huge, a really good message that we can send on this podcast too. But now we're going to get into some segments, and we're going to start with a, you said you had a Today I Learned.
Yes, I do. Let me pull it up here for Let's just do one second. So today I learned that Hugh Glass was left for dead after being mauled by a grizzly bear. After regaining consciousness, he set his broken leg, allowed maggots to eat his dead flesh to prevent gangrene, and made his way back to civilization over the course of 6 weeks, surviving on mostly roots and berries.
Why do I know that name, other than that?
Probably because he survived a bear mauling, set his leg, and let maggots eat his...
That's insane.
Dude... I'm furious. I've never heard of Hugh Glass before. This man is a hero. This is crazy.
Where was this at?
You know? I don't know. I didn't look into it, but you can see. Okay. I mean, it's like the 1800s. He looks like a West Virginia trail man. Like,
oh, okay. So this is olden days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
imagine if it was recent,
right?
Oh my God.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I was like, how did I not hear this on the news? That's awesome. Hugh Glass. Awesome. Today I learned. We will have a foodie coming to you next week.
Jordan dropped the ball on that one.
Well, I do have the gym closet locked up on most days, and he didn't get a picture of the list that we needed. So he has it now, so there's no excuse. Early next week. We will have votes on which one of the RTDs is the best. We went over that last week. So ready to drink protein shakes. But now let's get into a food for thought.
Food for thought. Okay. Like I said, this is something I've kind of been thinking about kind of a lot this week. I think it's a consistent through most people's lives as they start to grow up. And maybe I'm just like, you know, I'm a young 27-year-old trying to figure out how to live in this crazy world. But something that a lot of motivational folks say, I think, often, and that I think resonates with a lot of people, or at least can be taken to be serious, but I think is not quite as I think it's a little disingenuous sometimes, is as you continue to succeed, you're going to have to leave bodies behind. You're going to have to continue to move on in your life, and like people are going to fall off. And I think that in many cases that can be pretty true. You're going to have people in your life that aren't helping you succeed that are just going to fall off. But I think in a lot of other cases, through the natural growth and movement of a human, like, even people that meant a lot to you and like really had a profound effect on who you're going to be as a human, they fall off, and that kind of sucks. But it makes sense. But one thing that I don't think gets talked about enough, or something that I think holds true for me, and I think really if most people thought about it, also holds true for them, is like, even though those people aren't part of your life now, like I don't talk to a whole lot of people that have huge effects on me, but they are a huge part of who I am. None of that will change who they were and what they are to you in the past. You know what I mean? Like, you've got different chunks of your life where different things are happening to you. And at those different chunks, people have done enormous things that have helped you grow and succeed. And that will never change regardless of where you're going now, especially in the case that you're continuing to succeed, you're growing in life, and you're moving on. You can look back and say, when I was this many years old, I had these many people that meant the world to me. And they were a huge part of who you are, and they helped you grow. And especially in those times, these people that are that close, they see you for who you are as the worst as much as they see you for who you are as at your best. They're not just getting you when you're like success is happening to you all the time. Like, you're not just extremely successful. They see you when like really bad things are happening to you, and they still love you for everything that you are. So it sucks that they're not part of your life now, but those moments, those times, years at a time for a lot of people, that never changes. Like, those people still mean that much to you, and they were who you are. And I just think, you wish that you could still talk to all those people constantly, but it doesn't change the fact that they were that to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's just awesome. One of those things.
The first thing that I thought about was, that is exactly how I feel about, like, tattoos.
Oh, this is interesting. I want to hear this.
All right. So take this angle for me. So everybody, you know, back when I started getting tattoos, I was super young. I think I got my first one when I was 15. And everybody would say, oh, you'll have that for the rest of your life. You'll have that for the rest of your life, right? And then I always came back with this is how I feel at this moment.
Yes.
I may not love it. Yeah. I may not even want it anymore yeah. when I'm 15 years down the road. But if I think about it like that was how I was back then, and that was a part of my life yeah. back then, and I just have that represent that part of my life.
Yes.
Then I have no regrets ever with any tattoo that I would ever put on my body.
Okay, that's a you know great what I mean? Comparison.
And so yes. it's a great comparison, right? Yes. So that was my first thing that I thought about is those people. You like how I turned that into it?
Yes.
Yeah. So those people are your tattoos on your life,
soul,
right?
On your soul.
On your soul. I like that. We got to make a t-shirt out of
that. Dude, yeah.
Tattoo
and,
your
well,
soul.
And here's the other thing is like, I think the great example that you just said is like, you can look back. Maybe you don't like the tattoo the same way that you did back then. You can look back and not like yourself the way that you were right. exactly back then. And those people still loved you through all of that. And they still right. helped you grow to who you yeah. are today.
You might have been a shithead.
Dude, yes!
Probably
dude,
were.
Dude, yes! You yeah. think about it, you're like, oh, that was terrible. Like, yeah. thank God I'm not that person anymore.
Right.
But those people still loved you through that,
right.
helped you get to where you are. And though you've parted and
gone
think,
separate
ways,
I think that that's a great that. Thing to bring up because we've even had a podcast talk about, you know, as you grow, you may have to eliminate some of the people that are holding you back. And in doing that, it doesn't mean that you don't appreciate them for what
yeah.
spot they held in your
and there
life.
There are some
you know
people
what I, mean?
I think that we should qualify. Like there are some people that you should just eliminate because they're holding you back. Like
right.
they didn't have a profound effect on you.
Right.
But naturally, you're going to have to eliminate or
yeah.
you know just move on from some people that did really have a
oh,
good...
Oh, definitely, yeah.
yeah.
And I think that that's an awesome, awesome thing to take home and think about. And even go back and thank people, you know?
Yes.
And just having that gratitude towards the people that had effects on your yeah. life at one time, even if they're not in your life right now, just say thanks, you know? And
yeah.
it's a huge thing to be able to say thank you and to let people know because that's, I mean... The world's a shitty place, so the more that we can make it a better place and thank the people that helped us out and move on in an amicable way.
Yeah, and I think like the world we live in now makes it the hardest to let go of some of those people or like have people understand why you've moved on and let go because we're
right.
more connected than we've ever have been.
Oh,
so
definitely.
In human history, people have not been able to. Go on Facebook and see all these people that had profound effects on their life and
right.
what they're doing and all of that. And then still you don't have all the time of the day to
yeah.
keep in contact and go through all that.
Right.
And it gives like this weird feeling or vibe. And
it's interesting. There's a number that
yeah.
are a certain amount of people that
I wish I
for
could
some
remember,
reason, yeah, I don't know what it's called,
you can have
but
like
it's
150 acquaintances and then you can only have a certain number of close friends.
Yep. And like monkeys can only have 50.
Yeah.
But I just read an article or listened to a podcast or something on it this last week.
It hits, dude. When you hear that number and you hear the studies behind it and you hear it and you're like...
You start counting your own, you're like yeah.
You're like...
That's exactly it.
Yes.
And when I got a new one,
yeah.
someone else fell off.
It happens
you know?
To slide yeah. off, yeah. But that's, you know...
It is what it is.
I think...
Awesome
yep.
food for thought. So chew on that for a little
chew
bit.
Chew on that for a little bit.
Food for thought.
Man.
You like that?
We got two things out
puns.
Of it. Tattoos on your soul and chew on that.
Puns
We're
for
on
days.
Fire.
all right. So we also have a couch potato that we'll get into here. What do we got for a couch potato?
Have you seen or heard of the movie Free Solo?
No, but I've seen it. I have not watched it.
Holy moly. Excellent movie.
What's it about?
So this guy, Alex Hammond. It is about his quest. He's a free soloing climber.
Climber.
So
yes,
already
okay.
he's a maniac and he's
I've
done
seen
crazy
the pictures
things.
On
but this is the hardest climb in the world.
Okay.
And he wants to do it free solo. So it's about his journey of preparing for it and where he's at mentally. And
has he since done it several times?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
But
I think I might
okay.
have seen a story or a documentary on him, but not that movie.
Yeah.
Free
Dude,
solo.
It,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's hard to watch. Because you're like, this maniac is
yeah.
climbing, and you're like forced to watch it. And like, I didn't look up if he's still alive or anything. I'm like, am I going to watch him die?
Right.
Like, is that what this documentary is?
Yeah.
And his friend, the people filming it are all his friends, and they're talking about it too. They're like, you know, we're doing this, but like, it's not easy to do. Like, we're worried that we're going to literally film our friend's death because he's going to fall from this. And the cliff is
That's
so
crazy.
Scary. And while he's practicing, you know, he's got to practice 100,000 times going up this thing
right.
with ropes. He's failing. You're like, why do you think this is going to be different? But it was. He just does it.
That's awesome.
Oh, dude, it's crazy.
That's
it's
awesome. Such a good I'll definitely movie. Have to watch that. I've almost watched it like 17 times.
Do it. I couldn't recommend it highly enough. And people told me, and I was like, eh, whatever. But on Saturday, I got off work late, and I wasn't going to go out for St. Patrick's Day after 10 p.m. when everybody was
already
completely incoherent. Yeah. So I was like, well, I'll watch this movie, I guess. And then by the end of it, I was like, oh,
this is the best.
Why did I wait so long?
That's awesome. I'll definitely have to watch that. That's a great suggestion. On a lighter note, I got into one of those where you can kind of like turn off your brain. But it is Good Girls.
What?
Have you seen
it? No, I haven't seen it.
It's a series where in season one.
The Parks and Rec, Retta, is in it. Right?
Oh, what, I talk believe about it. So. I'm yeah. So yeah. Basically, it's a group of like suburban moms get intertwined with gang members and start living, almost accidentally living like a whole bunch of gang life and having to do a bunch of crimes and stuff. And,
yeah.
So it's really funny for what it is, but it's like a drama too.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an out there drama, so it's like one of those where I could see the writers being like writing it in a serious way and then getting done with it and being like, nah, that's a comedy. Damn it.
All right, here we go. We're making it into comedy.
Yep, it's a comedy. Yeah. But no, it was pretty good. I watched a couple episodes of that.
I've actually heard very good things about it now that I know which one you're talking about. Donna Meagle, that's the actor. The actress is Donna Meagle in Parks and Rec. Her name is Retta.
Her name in Parks and Rec is Retta?
Donna Meagle.
Donna Meagle.
Her real life name is Retta.
Retta. Okay. Yes. Cool. That's my couch potato. I don't really think we went out to update on St. Patty's Day. I hope everybody had a great St. Patty Day. Last weekend, we got like 3 hours for lunch in St. Patty's Day shenanigans.
Yeah.
And so we took full advantage of it. So we went out and we planned it as we went out with another couple and they had a babysitter for this amount of time too. So we planned it. Basically, we have 3 hours. Hour one, get as drunk as possible. Hour two, really enjoy it, but probably stop drinking. And hour three, try to be sober by the time that we get home so we can function for our kids. And so we did a very good job of that. It was awesome. We kind of bar hopped Sully's, Scotty's, Mickey's and had a good time. So we ate some lunch and then had a bunch of shots. One shot that I never had before that I really like is it's called like a Irish mini beer. And it's basically a shot of Jameson, which I love Jameson, with heavy cream that looks like the head.
Oh, yeah,
the
fizz. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so then it just looks like a mini beer in a shot glass. And
delicious.
Phenomenal. The sweetness of
delicious.
The cream. Oh, it's so good. But yeah, so we had a really good time there. Did you end up doing anything for St. Patrick's
Day? On Sunday, I went out. I met Eric Payne, and it was a pretty relaxed time. But what we saw was very interesting. I walked straight in. As soon as I walk into, he's a Tipsy Crow, this guy just raging at this girl. They obviously had just broken up or something. And he's obviously on cocaine. Because he was raging. I'm talking about, like, have you seen people, like, twice in my life I've seen somebody raging on cocaine screaming, and it looks like their head's going to snap because they're going like this. And, dude, and I'm like, whoa! So I stop, and I'm, like, watching it happen, you know. I have to watch this.
Yes.
And it just kept progressing and progressing, and, like, they're out there, they're fighting, they're in, they're fighting, they're out, they're whatever. And then at one point I'm standing next to the owner, or the guy that is, like, they're not on my property. I was like, oh, you own this place. So I'm like having a conversation with him about like these crazy people. He's like, oh, these people are coked out of their mind.
Oh,
and then we had,
in
like
hilarious.
More than knowing that they were, we had it literally confirmed when Eric was like, oh yeah, no, those people got off a party bus. We talked to them for a while. They're like, yeah, we just did a bunch of coke.
Admitting fault.
Like, okay. Yes. And then they got in a fight, dude. They like, he headbutt his friend and then they fell on them. And I was like, all right, now I'm out. This is too crazy. Yeah.
Hard drugs are not for me!
No! It's like, it's a Sunday. Look, I got nice and drunk and had a good time, went home, watched Lord of the Rings. Like a normal adult! You guys got drunk, went home, and took care of your kids. Like normal adults!
Man.
These people, what are you doing on Monday that you can do a bunch of cocaine on a Sunday?
I would say
maniacs.
Absolutely nothing. That or having to take more cocaine in order to function.
Yes.
Or whatever you're doing.
Yes.
Craziness. All right. I think the last
SMH people.
That was it. I scoured the internet.
Yeah.
For a story about
some moron.
And I couldn't find it. And that's because it was right here
right
in Des Moines.
Here in front of us.
That's awesome. Thank you guys all for joining us for this short episode. I hope you guys got a lot that you can take home and chew on. And then, you know, some things that you can take in, and hopefully a message that you can take and take some actionable steps this week in order to become more successful and be a better person. So we're going to leave off here with some weekend bangers. So you said you got,
yep,
you got one. Did you want to go first or second?
Yeah, I'll lead into mine a little bit. It's not much of a banger, but it's going to be 65 degrees this Friday. I have not looked if it's going to rain. I'm going to assume it's not going to rain. So put your windows
65
down.
65 and sunny.
65 and sunny. Listen to Gregory Allen Isaacoff. That's C, the gambler. And I'm going to fast forward a little bit. Cause
I don't know if I've ever heard this one. That's C, the gambler. This is relaxing.
Window down, cruising. It's springtime.
I feel like you got to be on a California, like, coastal drive for this one.
It'd be helpful.
I love it. That would be really nice. That's the gambler. I like it.
All right, what do we got?
All right, so I'm going to pick it up a little bit. I don't know if any of you folks remember a little guy by Bubba Sparks.
Oh.
But we're going to go into the weekends with Bubba Sparks and Colt Ford. And what I think kind of started off the country rap type of the cohesion. And it reminds me of springtime, dirt roading in high school, drinking.
Paint the picture for it.
Yep. Yeah. So this is us out on a gravel road, just parked in the middle of nowhere on a tailgate, drinking some beers.
I think Travis plays this song.
At
Craig.
Yeah, at the during the team session. Cooler on the tailgate. Natty Light was exactly what we were drinking. That or Keystone Ice.
Oh.
Woo! Thank you guys so much for joining us at the Gym Closet. If you could, please suggest our podcast to a friend. We want as many people to hear this message as possible. If you can jump on our social media, like, review, rate, and all that fun stuff, follow us at TR Crave Strong, Crave with a K, and at Jordan.Hildreth, at Crave Gym, at The Gym Closet Podcast. We'll see ya.
Peace.